Hello and welcome to the WCU Podcast Podcast. My name is Josh Thompson.
And I'm Patrick Frazier. And welcome to joining us with this COVID-19 edition.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique situation that we're recording this month's podcast from, as we are both socially distant. Patrick at his house, I am at my house. So we are recording via Zoom. So if we have any technical difficulties or audio issues, please bear with us this month as we kind of learn how we're going to be doing the podcast for potentially the next month or several. So thank you for joining us, though. We do want to talk a little bit about COVID-19, specifically, Patrick, the admissions office, and kind of some frequently asked questions that you guys have been receiving about what's going on in admissions over the course of the spring semester.
Yeah, it's been an interesting time in our office, been an interesting time for students on campus, without a doubt. Unfortunately, we had to cancel our final open house of the year at the one of the last weekends of March before kind of all of this started, really into as intense as it is now. And I was really looking forward to that open house as well. Yeah. We were closing in on 4,000 total people registered for it, students and guests.
Would that have been one of the biggest open houses ever?
Oh, it was on pace to be the largest open house ever, and it was also already we were seven students away from 1,200 registered students, which would have been the highest ever.
That's crazy. And just for perspective, when you think about some of the largest incoming classes we've ever had before. Now this is just visitors and folks coming to join us from open house from all different kind of walks of their high school journey. But when you think about the largest classes we've ever had at Western Carolina in terms of freshmen have been really around that 2100, 2200 kind of threshold. So you're looking at bringing in just for the day, almost half of what you would bring in for a traditional semester.
Yeah, it would have been an amazing event. It would have been a packed Ramsey Center, packed dining halls, packed everything, which has kind of already caused us to have to open up our fall registrations a little early for juniors that are looking to register. And so we opened it up this week, and we already have two people signed up for the October open house. So it'd be interesting to see.
So that is good for folks to know. If you are an underclassman who was looking forward to coming and visiting Western for the open house that was canceled, registrations are already available for next fall's open houses.
Yeah, so students can register and sign up. Unfortunately, there's no campus tours taking place on campus right now, just because campus is pretty bare minimum essential staff only right now. However, we have some options that are going to be going live online in the next couple of days. We have online virtual tours that are going to be available for students starting Monday. We're also going to have meetings that you can do via Zoom with different counselors. So this will be a great opportunity for students to be a part of it and get to ask questions face-to-face. Those are going to start on Monday, April 13th for students. So we'll have one-on-ones with counselors available in the afternoon, as well as information sessions for freshmen and transfer students at different times throughout the day. So our website online will have all that information at visit.wcu.edu. So coming up with some great solutions for families that are quarantined. It's just a work in progress, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as ideas become kind of more well-known and as kind of we go further into this pandemic, folks are and the admissions office are really kind of getting real creative with how they are. They're open but closed. Can you explain kind of how that works, Patrick?
So we are open in terms of we are answering emails and phone calls. However, the office physical location is closed. We do have a handful of essential staff of two or three people that are there each day covering some of our basic required duties throughout the day. So answering the main phone lines, getting transcripts and other things processed and updated in the system so that students can receive decisions However, if you're needing to talk to somebody, the only way to do that is virtually, either phone call, email, or starting on the 13th, the Zoom meetings. So we're still there and available from 8 to 5 each day. It's just a different kind of concept than before.
So walk me through kind of, if you are a student who has applied to Western, but you are not sure, or you're still waiting on a decision based on wanting to get kind of an extra semester's worth of GPA kind of in to see if you could raise that, or if you were going to redo the test to see if you could improve your test scores. A lot of the standardized testing has been canceled for the rest of the spring. So how does that work if you're a student who is wanting to hear kind of about where they stand with Western and moving forward?
So we're still working with students and still reviewing everything. Some of the stuff in terms of updated test scores and GPAs, we know that the grading scales at schools are changing. And so fortunately for us, you know, we look at a lot of different intangibles in the process. We look at your grades all through your high school career. We look at your GPA. Your test scores is a piece of that. So we're working with students to help make sure that they don't feel like we're missing out on items. We're actually going to be meeting this week to kind of go through students that were needing to take an additional test and looking at kind of re-reviewing their application so that we can get them a decision as soon as possible. We still have the opportunity for students to submit any test scores that they might not have submitted to us before. If they haven't submitted transcripts to us yet, they still have that opportunity to do so. So we still encourage students to get all those in to us, and the counselors are still able to review everything from home. So as they're working remotely, we're still getting everything in. Even if it's a hard copy in the mail, it's still getting processed and put on online for students. The one thing is that we are encouraging students to check their student portal daily if they're waiting to hear about a decision, because even though we are sending acceptance letters and information out in the mail, with everything going on, it could take 2 to 3 weeks for those letters to arrive in the mail. We haven't changed our May 1st deposit deadline. That is still the deadline right now to reserve your spot in the freshman class for next year. So check online and see if you've been accepted yet, and then you can start that process to go ahead and pay that tuition and housing deposit of $150 each.
Yeah, I think that one of the good things, drawing back to kind of what you mentioned in terms of folks not being able to complete additional tests or things like that, is that Western has always had a very holistic way they read applications. And so it hasn't always been you have to have an X score no matter what. I think that one of the things that is a benefit for students applying to Western is that we do look at your GPA, we do look at the trends of whether you're doing on the rise or on the decline, kind of regular grades, outside activities, all that kind of good thing. So really not much is changing in that regards, right?
No, it's not much is changing in that regards. All of our deadlines are still in place. If a student is requesting an extension to the deadline, we will review those on a case-by-case basis for the different deadlines. But everything kind of stays in place. Really, all of our processes are running the way that they would run if we were in the office. It's just remotely is the only difference now.
Yeah. So I think that if students have any kind of questions or concerns about how COVID-19 is going to impact their admissions at WCU, the best thing to do, since you guys are going to be working Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, just from home, is to email or call, right?
That's correct. Email or call is the easiest way to get in touch with us. And I do recommend for not everybody to try calling during the lunch hours of sure. 12 to 2, because even though we are working remotely, counselors are taking a break during that time. So we're kind of limited in availability of staff from 12 to 2, but the rest of the time, all of our staff are available via phone and email.
Yeah, and I think that's just when most folks tend to call anyway, and so that's usually the worst time to call in terms of availability is when most folks decide, oh, it's lunchtime, I'll give them a call. They're probably not too busy, but it's usually the exact opposite. So anytime, kind of before lunch, after lunch would absolutely be preferable, so folks could have a little bit of a break there to go get their own lunch.
Yeah, other than that, it's a great time to kind of help out, and we're still able to help students, we're still able to answer questions, so none of that is changing, which is nice. And then as you kind of look to what's going to happen over the next month or two with tours, unfortunately, we don't know kind of how things are going to change. So we don't know if we're going to be offering campus tours in May at this point. But we'll update all of those different things on our website as more information becomes available in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah. As new experiences and as new things get uploaded, visit.wcu.edu. Absolutely the best place to check and look for any updated information on changes, meetings with counselors, the tour you mentioned. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to be updated on that page throughout the next several weeks.
Yeah, so that, like I said, that's the best spot to check and keep up with everything. And as we have more information, we'll update it as quickly as we can. And really, we're trying to create an environment, an opportunity for students to experience WCU without actually having to make the drive to WCU. Some of these things will live on the website after all of this is over, some of our virtual tour components and different things. But as you and I both know, the best way to really experience WCU is coming to a campus tour and an open house. And we're beyond ready to get back to that point in time where students are able to come and visit the school and be a part of the school. And hopefully we'll get there sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we can't wait to welcome all our incoming students and all our future students and prospective students and their families back to campus as soon as it's safe and healthy to do so. So just keep updated. Touch base with us if you have any questions. But otherwise, Patrick, I think it's probably time to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll be back with our student spotlights.
Our May 1 tuition and housing deposit deadline is rapidly approaching. If you are an accepted incoming freshman student, you must pay the $150 housing and $150 tuition deposits by May 1st. To pay the deposits, go online to your MyWCU portal at mywcu.wcu.edu.
And welcome back to the WCU Podcasts podcast. Again, my name is Josh Thompson, joined as always by Patrick Frazier. And Patrick, we actually have a couple of special guests today joining us for our student profiles. We'll allow them to introduce themselves, but proud to welcome on two more of your Entourage members onto the show.
Yeah, so we're going to welcome Madison and TJ and allow them both an opportunity to introduce themselves, and then we'll dive into some Q&A moments with them.
Hi, my name is Madison Lovinggood. I'm a sophomore at WCU, and this was my second semester as a tour guide. I'm also in the Honors College, part of a couple clubs and activities around campus.
Hi, I'm TJ Nicholson. I'm a senior here at WCU in the Natural Resource Management Program. What have I done? I am a big believer in the intramurals as well as club sports, just to stay active because I enjoy being active here on campus. And I was part of a couple clubs in my freshman year, but didn't really divulge into anything.
So you guys can't see this because we can see it because we're on Zoom, but you're listening after the fact. But TJ mentioned he's a natural resource management guy. And you can tell because he's literally outside, unless he has a really good virtual background, he's literally outside amongst nature as we speak. So it tells you kind of how dedicated he is to that. So guys, tell us a little bit about your journey to Western, why you decided Western was for you, and a little bit about coming from your hometowns.
So I came to Western as a camper at the marching band camp that Western offers. I was there from 2015, 16, 17, 18. And then when I came here as a student, I knew I wanted to be a counselor. So I did that in 2019. Somewhere there's a picture of this picture is of us all of us counselors. So I, when I came to that camp, I just really loved, the director, the music directors here, and all the people that I met. And I just felt so familiar with campus that by the time I got to my second year of camp, which was only like my sophomore or junior year of high school, my parents were like, yep, she's going to Western. And I'm like, well, no, I'm gonna look other places, no fear. And they were like, no, here I am at Western. So
mom and dad knew best.
TJ, what about you?
So it's funny you say mom and dad know best, because it's the quite opposite with me. when I first came here, my sister started touring schools in North Carolina, and I fell in love with the state. So I started looking here, and I had no idea about Western Carolina because it's a very small school. So I was mainly looking at like Charlotte, Asheville, all those, but I'm not a big city person, seeing how I'm in the wilderness. And on the College Search website, the first 7 pictures were of students not doing schoolwork, and they were kayaking, canoeing, hiking, biking, everything that I wanted to do. So I knew that was the school for me. So I just applied. I shut my laptop when it was over, and I said, I'm done. I'm going there. I've never toured it, which is ironic because now I'm a tour guide. But as soon as I came here, I fell in love with it. Just the atmosphere of it, the altitude, the you're remote, but you still have like an hour drive to go to Asheville. So it's very nice for someone like me who enjoys the city but doesn't want to live in it. And the people were just super friendly. I met my best friend when I went to orientation, and we played ping pong for 5 hours. I just made friends instantly, and everyone's friendly. The teachers are even better. The staff is even cooler.
Yeah,
it's just a very friendly atmosphere.
Nothing like a little plug for orientation there for you, Josh.
I was going to say, it's almost like I asked him to do that, but I didn't. That was straight off the cuff. I appreciate that.
So, TJ, one of the things that you did while you were a student was studying abroad.
Yes.
So you want to talk about that a little bit?
So I always encourage study abroad. All of my friends who haven't yet, I always say do it, because something like this could happen and then we can't go anywhere, so you might as well do it. But it was a very simple process for the most part. It was just that you had to do most of it. The people would tell you what to do. I think I had Jennifer as my advisor for study abroad, and she was very helpful. They're very enthusiastic, so they want to help you go away. And thankfully I was able to go to Australia on WCU tuition, but then I had to pay room and board there. So instead of paying $40,000, I paid $500, since that was the tuition, and it was amazing. I was there for 5 months. I was able to travel pretty much all across Australia as well as New Zealand, which was my number one bucket list place to go. And I was able to learn different teaching styles as well as meet different people that, of course, I would not have been able to meet because it is halfway across the world. And just the experiences you get there are unlike anything else.
That's awesome. What, if you could highlight kind of, you said New Zealand was super bucket list, any particular reason or anything you did there that was kind of like, that made it kind of that special moment?
Well, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I have 2 tattoos of them. And so one of the big places to go to was the Shire.
Yeah.
And that was by far the best area we went to. It was very touristy, which was okay. And it was raining, but it was still super magical when I went there. And then just driving all across New Zealand for 2 weeks, every place just seemed Middle Earth. Like, yeah. Everything was untouched, or if it was touched, it was blending into the environment beautifully, and it was just something I've never seen before.
So it's like living kind of your favorite movie.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah, the Shire is definitely on my bucket list of places to visit. It's a reason to visit New Zealand. My brother went last year and of course started sending pictures. That's on the bucket list for me.
I very much recommend the buffet, because then you get like cool little mugs and just food as well as alcohol or cider.
Awesome. So Madison, you mentioned kind of being a music person when you initially discovered Western. How has that translated kind of into you being a student here?
So it's a huge part of my life. Even though I'm not majored in music, I'm a marketing major. I forgot to say that in my intro. I still do music as much as possible. In the fall, I do marching band. And so just like all the cool opportunities that have come with that, like my freshman year, we went to St. Louis to perform at the Bands of America Super Regional, which is a big like high school marching band competition. And this past year, most people probably know we were in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So getting to see New York for the first time. And then next year, this coming year, we're planning to travel to Indianapolis, Indiana, to another Bands of America event. So just all the cool travel opportunities, and obviously just being at games and performing for a home crowd is really cool. And then in the spring semester, I do concert band and pep band. And so still playing for our athletics teams and getting to play what we call sit-down band. It's nice just get to make music with all of my friends.
I think that's one of the awesome things about being at Westerns. You can still be a part of pep band, marching band, concert band without having to kind of be a major in that. And so it's still something you can do for fun, similar to what you did growing up. TJ kind of talked about a life-altering kind of experience, kind of going to Australia, getting to kind of live the dream of walking through the Shire in New Zealand. So I imagine as a marching band person, it probably doesn't get much better than the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Tell us a little bit about kind of how that was and some of the more memorable moments you experienced this past November.
So I had never been to New York before. And just growing up, you know, like my dad's like, I'm never going to New York. So like, I just always heard things about New York that made it seem kind of scary and like, oh my gosh, I don't know about this. Am I going to get lost or end up on the subway to the wrong place? Once we actually got there, we stayed in New Jersey and then took the buses in every day. We got police escorts out of our hotel parking lot. So that was kind of cool. Just going into the city for the first time and you realize how massive it is. And then once you come back home, you realize how much you actually didn't see.
Sure.
And because there's so much to it. Like, I mostly stayed around Times Square and kind of, I guess, the more touristy parts of New York City. But I have decided now that I want to go back eventually. I always said, once I go to New York, that's going to be a check it, done. I won't go back kind of thing. But now I think I definitely want to go back because there's so much that I didn't see. We saw Wicked as a whole band. We actually got a shout out from the Wicked cast at the end. Wow. Because they heard us making noise before the show, and so they found out who it was and got a nice shout out. It was cool. I saw Frozen on Broadway, and then we also saw the Rockettes, and so all those experiences I didn't really expect. I knew it was going to be good, like they were going to be good quality, but I didn't expect how good they were. Like all of the props to all the crews and the lighting and all of those kind of people. For those, because the actors and actresses are great, but all the tech stuff that goes behind it, even better. And just the city itself has so many things to do, and Google Maps was my lifesaver. I discovered they had live view, so you can like show your phone the buildings that are around you, and it like puts the directions right on your screen in real time, and that was my lifesaver. So.
That's really cool. I wouldn't have thought necessarily to use that kind of like a live view when you're walking around New York. So did you get to see kind of, you talked about now wanting to go back. What's one thing kind of that is drawing you back? Is it kind of the Broadway scene? Is it something you missed out on this first trip?
Part of it is I want to go back with my mom because she's never been. And I want to go experience a Broadway show with her. So seeing another one of those, and also just, maybe getting to go expand out a little bit more. Now that I'm more comfortable with how New York works, I did say that before at the end of that trip, I was like, I'm going to take the subway. I might end up lost, but it'll be okay. So we took the subway from like Times Square-ish area down to near the Brooklyn Bridge. Because I found out that one of my favorite TV shows, Law & Order SVU, they film all of the courthouse stair scenes at one of the courthouses there. And so we went on the hunt for that, and I got my picture made on that very same staircase. So,
oh, that's cool.
So I think just maybe finding some more little things like that that are about New York. Also, I never went in Central Park, so I guess I should have done that. So maybe that'll be on my bucket list for my next trip.
Yeah, it's easy to have a bucket list of things to do and see in New York City. I've been a couple times now and still have some things on my bucket list to check off. Like, you know, I still want to do Saturday Night Live, got to make it to the Statue of Liberty. But it's easy to have a multi-trip bucket list for New York City alone.
Yeah, we got to see the Statue of Liberty from our boat because we took the whole band. We had one boat for all of us, and we had like a lunch cruise to the Statue of Liberty. So I got to see it from a boat, but I would love to actually be able to get off and experience it fully too. And going back to like the long list of bucket list things, I know I was talking to another tour guide before they went to, they're supposed to go on the spring break New York trip. One of the guides for that trip said that this is like their 8th time going to New York and they still have things they haven't done. So just that gets to show you that you can go there a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. So kind of as now TJ mentioned you're a senior, so getting ready to finish up your college career here at Western. Madison's still having a couple years, but kind of projecting into the future, TJ, a little more recent future, Madison, a little bit more distant future. What are you guys looking at postgraduate life in terms of what you'd like to do, how you'd like to use that major once you graduate?
So for me, being a senior, I've already applied to probably about 30 jobs. Thankfully, when I applied to about the 25th was when I started getting some back saying like, hey, we want you. I was getting an offer from Colorado to do whitewater rafting. I got offers from Arizona Grand Canyon to do the same. But the one I went with was one where I am in a sea base in Florida on the Florida Keys. So I'm very excited about that. And that's pretty much for every week I take a unit of scouts and we go kayaking, canoeing, fly fishing, shark fishing, snorkeling. We'll go on a catamaran and then pretty much I do my tour guide job on the water.
That's awesome. So you've already got that job ready to start kind of post graduation.
Yep. I'm going there May 18th.
That's awesome. Congratulations, TJ. I know that's one of the things that I think folks have kind of a hard time understanding is that there are jobs out there and folks, you don't just graduate and you can have a job when you graduate if you put in the work. And you mentioned kind of absolutely application spamming is the best method, I think, and just anything you're interested in going ahead and applying. So that's awesome. I think that's a real highlight of kind of ingenuity and things that you learned hopefully here at Western that then translated to that job search process.
Well, I would also add that a couple of the jobs, like the job that I got at Seabase, was actually made through connections. So just putting yourself out there, trying to get those connections, just talking about interests that you like or talking about someone else's interests, because then it might turn into yours. Mm-hmm. So just making those connections, going over to the Center for Professional Development and asking them about like what jobs are out there and help with my resume and whatnot, as well as with teachers, like just asking them like, hey, I'm interested in this. Like, what do you got for me when it comes to internships or research opportunities, anything like that?
Excellent. Now, Madison, what about you? I know that this is still several years away from kind of you thinking post-grad life, but kind of dream scenario, what would you like to be doing after you graduate?
So I've actually kind of had what I wanted to do since I was in eighth grade. My seventh grade year, I started a fan page for my favorite race car driver. So I just kind of fell in love with the whole like social media thing and talking to fans and making posts and doing live streams and all that kind of stuff. So I actually reached out to my favorite social media manager. It's weird that you have like a favorite. He's just a person, but he was my favorite. And I reached out to him and wanted to like spend a day with him. He was like, well, let me know when you're a little bit older. And I was like, okay. So when I got into college, actually this past fall semester, I emailed him and I was like, hey, you remember me? And he does, because I had met him in person for the first time last year when I went to a race. And he let me come to his office for a day and do a job shadowing. And so I got to work with him and his team and see what they do. I was there from 9 to 5 and got to see being part of a business meeting and kind of see the projects they were working on. And so that really, really solidified it for me and what I want to do. And I'm hoping to go into racing with social media management, and that would be like the ideal world.
Yeah, what was awesome. The team that you were with?
Joe Gibbs Racing.
So I know at one point, and Josh, you might know this more so than me, we did have an alum that was a kicker for the football team that was working with Kevin Harvick. Because he did some of their social media stuff and marketing for a while, because he challenged Kevin Harvick to kicking a field goal at one point.
I probably even saw that like video or campaign at some point.
Yeah, we also we have an alum that I went to school with, and I think he's still with NASCAR. His name was Charles Bush. Everybody called him Chuck. He was an orientation counselor with me. But he actually works for NASCAR's digital team, producing content for NASCAR's official website. And so has met a lot of the drivers and has gotten very involved with that, has had a couple of successful podcasts, TV shows through that. So Western and NASCAR, specifically when you're looking at marketing, are fairly closely tied together with a couple of alums in prominent positions. And that's kind of a neat connection that clearly our students with Madison are still continuing to make.
Yeah, I actually remember, I believe it was at orientation because I didn't come to an open house, but orientation, I met with a professor and he was talking about like opportunities in the field and stuff, and he did mention NASCAR. So after our little meeting, I talked with him about it, and he said, yeah, like we have a lot of students that go and do their internships. We have a lot of connections with NASCAR, and I was like, sweet. Even though like I still want to do my internship with Joe Gibbs Racing, since that's been my dream forever. And he told me I could contact him when I got in college. So here we are. That'll be a next summer thing, hopefully.
That's excellent. You have any, just as I'm curious, because I know I've got at least 2 NASCAR fans here on the call with Patrick and Madison. Tell me what you think about the e-racing that they are doing in the place of the regular races, that they're doing with all the NASCAR drivers kind of setting up and doing more online, not video game, but video game style kind of NASCAR races.
It's been fun to watch. I will say it has been kind of humorous, how intense it has gotten. Because like last week, one of the drivers quit the race and got just destroyed on Twitter for quitting a video game. Which is kind
of everybody rage quits.
But at the same time, it's also interesting how companies are now sponsoring their virtual cars. So they're actually getting sponsorship endorsements for their virtual racing cars and teams. And it's also interesting, you got some drivers that have spent, you know, $20 on a steering wheel at Walmart, and others that have spent thousands of dollars on like the custom car setup for their house.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating to see the difference in how folks were talking about the quality of your product and how that makes it makes a big difference virtually. But it also kind of is like how you would relate kind of the way the cars are made from the different manufacturers and how good the teams are that are building the cars as well. So there's also that kind of paralleled advantage depending on how you go with too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been in nothing else, it's been a great marketing tool for iRacing. The fact that it's been broadcast on FS1 each week. And, you know, other sports are trying to get onto it now, too. You got basketball doing, games with some of the different players online. I just don't think they'll be able to capture it quite like NASCAR can.
Yeah, it's interesting from a marketing perspective, Madison. I'm sure that you were watching that and thinking, how could you kind of market that and sell that kind of in the future?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. Like Patrick was talking about with sponsorships and Just also like kind of the presence on social media, or like even, you know, TV channels that it brings is pretty neat. And also I know NASCAR has a TikTok, and so that's very awesome that like they really jump on to the social media bandwagon sort of thing, and them having this iRacing thing I think appeals to a different kind of audience than just regular in-person NASCAR races. So I think it's cool that they're capturing, like I've seen some comments on social media that's like, eh, I didn't really watch NASCAR before, but I like this because it's the younger audiences that are into the video game scene. So I think it's a cool marketing thing.
It's kind of, it's a rebirth and kind of a reboom for NASCAR, which is kind of like dates back to how it became popular in the 1970s with the Daytona 500. The nation was actually snowed in and nobody could leave anywhere in the nation because of the snowstorm. And the Daytona was the 500 was the first ever live broadcast race, and the popularity of NASCAR just exploded afterwards. It's kind of like a rebirth almost for the sport.
Yeah, it's fascinating how history kind of indicates your future. As we begin to kind of wind down our time with our two featured guests today, TJ Madison, any kind of advice you guys would have for our incoming students or folks who are considering Western, kind of last minute kind of pitches you would use to kind of say, this has been my experience and this is why it's been great?
Yeah, and think about it in the sense too that, you know, these were the students that you would probably be seeing on tours and, you know, over the last few weeks of school that aren't getting a chance to ever visit the school now and are trying to decide whether or not to attend.
Okay, I can go first. So I think one thing to really consider with Western is, like TJ was talking about, how he loves doing all of that outdoor stuff. If that's your scene, this is the place you want to be. And so really just kind of take in consideration the location of Western. And, you know, not every school is perfect for everyone. And I think that if you're looking for that small town feel, those close relationship with your professors and that kind of environment, then Western will be more than perfect for you. So I think that, and then just kind of my favorite thing about what, or once, okay, so if you're already coming here as a student, you know that, my advice for your freshman year is just get involved, go to Valley Ballyhoo at the beginning of the year and find out about all the clubs and organizations we have. Find something you're interested in. We have a ton of different things to do. I'm part of an American Sign Language club. We have photography clubs and art clubs and video game clubs and tabletop games and all kinds. I mean, it's a wide range of stuff. So just get involved your freshman year, and if something doesn't work out, just keep trying it. You'll find something that really works for you.
Mm-hmm. Going along with that, when I was in my freshman year, I tried to get involved, and I was in the equestrian club. I was in, I think it was like a clay pottery club. I almost joined the cheerleading club. I wasn't flexible enough, unfortunately, but tried to join the team after that because I knew the leader of it, the head cheerleader, still couldn't get in. But definitely get involved. Like, there's tons of signs everywhere. Just go to them. Even if you think that you might not like it, sometimes they just surprise you. Like, sometimes you'll see a comedian and you're like, oh, they can't be that funny. Turns out they're pretty funny. So definitely get involved. Another thing is, as she was saying, like, know where you're going, because if you want to be near a big city here, this probably isn't the place for you. If you love the outdoors and if you love just like the little things in life, in the sense of like walking and seeing the sunrise or sunset, then this is perfect. Like, you're 30 minutes from about 800 different hikes. There's plenty of waterfalls you could go to. And with Base Camp Cullowhee being the number one outdoor adventure in the nation, in our district, there's more than plenty of things to do. We were going to do the Tuck River cleanup. We were going to do canoeing and backpacking for a whole week. There's always something for someone to do. And that's why it's just like, go to Bally Ballyhoo, meet new people, meet different people. Like, as soon as you have your friend group, don't just think like, oh, that's it, that's all I need. Just keep meeting people, because you never know, someone else can turn to be your best friend, or someone you could just go hiking with. And like, that's super important when it comes to making college friends. You don't need a best friend for everything, but sometimes just having a good friend to go canoeing with, or just taking a walk or something, it's always important.
Yeah, I think the overarching concept there is just take a chance. Like, we have so much, like he was talking about, all the outdoors things, plus comedians and speakers and the movies on Friday and Saturday nights, and the bus trips. We do campus activities, and Last Minute Productions does off-campus bus trips to NASCAR races and theme parks and Broadway plays and all kinds of different things that you can get off campus and go do with other people. And that gives you a great opportunity to meet other people as well. So just take a chance, do that stuff, and go see a play that supports your fellow students, and go watch the concerts the music students are doing, and just anything you can to meet new people and support your fellow students.
TJ Madison, thank you guys very much. We appreciate you joining us for our first ever Zoom edition of the WCU Podcasts podcast. And I want to thank again Patrick for his time. So for TJ, Madison, and Patrick, this is Josh, as always, saying go Cats!